Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right? You're eating healthy, you're working out, and yet your energy still crashes, or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, like a twist in a crime story that you didn't see coming. Listen, I've been there too, and what I've discovered is that many of these issues could be tied to hormonal imbalances, like a hidden criminal lurking in the background, throwing everything off track. But here's the good news. This is one mystery that you can solve with Happy Mammoth. There's no need for a long investigation. Just take the free 2-minute quiz from Happy Mammoth. You answer a few questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can finally feel like yourself again. According to a survey, after taking Hormone Harmony, 86% of women started to lose weight. 77% said that it improved their mood. And the biggest benefit? 100% of women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ATTWG for 15% off today. We sleep better when we sleep cool. As the weather is getting warmer, staying cool while we sleep will be top of mind. Organic and natural bedding sleeps cooler than cheaper synthetic alternatives, and they last longer too. A fresh season calls for a fresh start, and that includes your bed. From seriously soft organic cotton sheets to breathable silk and luxurious down duvets, Avocado Green's bedding makes it easy to reset your space sustainably. Perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months, Avocado Green sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable and help regulate temperature, so you sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. Avocado bedding is thoughtfully designed and expertly crafted for lasting durability. From reinforced stitching to premium long staple organic fibers, every detail is made to stand the test of time, wash after wash, season after season. We sleep better when we sleep cool, so head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Anyone who has children knows that it pretty much consumes your life for the first several years. But as they get older, you start to find out that you have a little more time to yourself and can branch out a little bit. That's what Bianca Carrasco was finding in 2015. Bianca became pregnant with her first child and married her husband, Daniel Carrasco, when she was 18. The couple soon added 2 more children to her family. But even though Bianca was a mom right out of high school, she still had dreams.
Bianca studied at Odessa College and eventually graduated from the Galen College of Nursing in October 2015. After graduation, Bianca got a job as a registered nurse at an oncologist's office. But with these professional growths came personal ones, and Bianca started taking stock of her life. And she began to wonder if her marriage to Daniel was really what she wanted. But before she could really truly figure out what she wanted to do and who she wanted to be, Bianca Carrasco vanished into the night. Was Bianca's disappearance simply a case of an overwhelmed and unhappy mother wanting to start a new life, as her husband claims? Or did Bianca fall victim to a man consumed by jealousy? When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. I want to tell you the story of Bianca Carrasco. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome, finally, to our season two premiere.
Welcome,
thank you.
Welcome, season two.
I know. I'm excited that we are finally getting everything sort of figured out and trying
thank
to...
Thank you, by the way, for bearing with us
yes.
And dealing with our crazy move that took a lot longer than expected, and then dealing with some work issues.
Yep.
That had me working for 21 days straight.
But we're back. So we are going to resume bringing you content every single week. So let's go ahead and get started, because this story is just so horribly sad. It's a relatively recent case, and there is still a possibility of finding answers. And I think for Bianca's family, you know, we really need to keep her story alive and see if we can get those answers.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
All right. Bianca Zanette Carrasco was born on July 21st, 1986 in Odessa, Texas, to Barbara Talamantes. And I couldn't find much public information about Bianca's childhood, but according to her sister Giovanna, Bianca, quote, had a way of making hard things funny. Like, if she was crying, she was still laughing, end quote. In a post that Giovanna made on her sister's Facebook page after she went missing, she said a lot about how she missed her and things like, quote, Jesus is watching over you, end quote. But she also said that Bianca would be the first one to make fun of her for being cheesy. She also said that Bianca had a wicked sense of humor and loved making jokes at inappropriate times. So, you know, basically she was a girl after my own heart. But underneath the inappropriate jokes must have been an incredibly kind and empathetic soul. As I mentioned in the intro, Bianca worked as an oncology nurse. And her Facebook page has touching posts from her patients, thanking her for taking care of them through chemotherapy treatments and even for sharing her green bean casserole recipe. Yeah, and we have a friend who was an oncology nurse.
We do.
And I actually, you've been friends with her forever, and I didn't really know her while she was doing that. But I imagine it's an incredibly just demanding and stressful job.
Yeah, there were definitely nights when she went home and sobbed. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
There's happy stories, and there's a lot of sad stories. Ugh. So...
Yeah,
it's
really,
it's
yeah,
taxing.
I can imagine. I mean, you really have to be a special person to be able to take that on.
So you said Bianca was, had a kid right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
When did she find time to go to nursing school?
Oh my goodness. After her third kid.
Whoa.
I know, right? We have three kids and we can barely like make dinner at night.
Yeah.
But yeah, she... was really driven.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
It
nursing
really,
school is not an easy thing.
No, not at all. Especially not once you've been out of the school rhythm for a while,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So when she was 18, she and Joe Daniel Carrasco, who goes by Daniel, got together. Now, Daniel was 11 years her senior, and the pair had actually known each other for significantly longer because Daniel was Bianca's uncle.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Not by blood. However.
Still creepy.
Yes. Daniel was married to Bianca's mother's sister, Brenda. And it's unclear how long Daniel and Brenda were married, but the couple did have a daughter together who was around 8 when her parents got divorced and her father set his sights on his teenaged niece.
Yeah, so, you know, if the math is correct, then he's at least known Bianca since she was 10.
Yeah, around that.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Right, yeah. So Bianca's mother, Barbara, told True Crime Daily, quote, Daniel and Brenda were going through a divorce, and kind of to get back at her, he started wooing Bianca. Bianca gets pregnant, they get married, and I think just to, out of malice, just to get back at my sister, end quote. Wow. Which, I mean, listen, I love a good, like, revenge plotline, but impregnating my teenage niece, like, I think is a bridge too far.
I mean, it's definitely the long game.
For sure. You know,
that's not – there's definitely some immediate satisfaction, but, yeah. But you're in it for at least 18 years.
Yeah, so, yeah. At that point, I would just be like – I think I would go more toward the, like, throw all their shit on the wall and set it on fire.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Maybe just be done with it if we're looking for revenge. So, yeah, this understandably created some not-so-great family dynamics.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and Bianca's mother claims that even after they were married and started their family, Daniel continued to drive a wedge between Bianca and her family, saying, quote, Daniel very much manipulated trying to keep Bianca away from all the family. He tried to keep her away completely, end quote. Things got so bad that Barbara hadn't even seen Bianca for 5 years. And at the time of her disappearance, they weren't even on speaking terms. And, you know, this is obviously a big deal because that's a long time to go without seeing or speaking to your mother. But also keep in mind that Bianca and Daniel's kids were like 10, 9, and 5 at the time. So there's a chance that Barbara had never even met Bianca's youngest.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. Or if she had, I mean, she... It was when she was a tiny baby and has missed literally her entire life at that point.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Bianca does seem to have stayed close with her sister, Giovanna, and the two spoke often. Now, despite all of the family drama, Bianca and Daniel's marriage, like against all odds, seemed to be relatively solid for a long period of time. You know, like I said, at the time of her disappearance, they had been married for 10 years. And they have 3 children. But it's
longer than my longest marriage.
See, exactly. Yeah. Longer than your first 2 combined.
Ouch.
And you married 0 family members.
Yes, that's very true.
But in Bianca and Daniel's case, it was that 10th year that seems to have brought strain upon their union. And, I mean, you get it, right? Like, she spent the ages of 18 to 28 as a mom and a wife. She wasn't partying or dating or making bad decisions, you know, or doing any of those things that you do in your late teens and 20s.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's definitely some, you know, manipulation going on.
Right, maybe some control kind of issues.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think he's 11 years older than her.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow convinces her to get with him at a very young age, at 18, and then have kids and get married.
Yeah.
There's got to be a certain amount. I mean, yes, she's a consenting adult at that point, but...
Well, at that point, but I mean, who knows when it started?
Exactly.
You know, I mean they got married. She got pregnant when she was 18. That's not necessarily when all of this began, though.
Right.
So
there's... evidence there of some sort of history of manipulation and, you know, not physical abuse, but at least some sort of mental abuse.
Yeah, emotional.
For lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after 10 years of it, and now you said she's 28.
Mm-hmm.
She has a career.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing. So at 28, you know, she makes this huge change, right? Like, she goes to nursing school. She embarks on this new career. And doors started opening up to her. You know, she started seeing the world, I guess, for what it could be.
Right. Or the or just the world outside of her little micro universe.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, as it will sometimes happen, when those doors start to open up, sometimes romantic ones open up as well. Mm. In the spring of 2016, Bianca, who at that point was 29, really just decided that she was done. She apparently told Daniel this and even changed her Facebook status to divorced, though she had not yet started legal proceedings.
Well, it's real once it's on Facebook.
Right? I think that's almost more, like, it's almost more real than just actually getting divorced, because that's public.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, she is sending a very clear message at that point.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, neither one of them moved out of the home, though. But, you know, Bianca was over it, basically, and she started behaving like a divorced woman. Mm-hmm. She was apparently talking to several men at this time and was romantically involved with at least one in particular. And I don't know if Bianca was actively hiding this from Daniel or if she just didn't think it was any of his business. But either way, he didn't really seem to be, like, clued in on these activities. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't this mutual, like, okay, yes, let's separate, let's live our own lives, although we have to be under the same roof for whatever financial reasons or children reasons or whatever. It very much seems like Bianca made this decision and Daniel was not quite on board.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty rare that in a divorce, you know, in a, I want to say, quote-unquote, normal divorce, but
yeah.
You know, it's usually prompted by one side or the other.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, so, and eventually the other side, I imagine, you know, will
figure it out.
It.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm sure it takes time, right? I mean, it's typically not like an overnight phenomenon, especially if you're in the same house.
Right.
So her sister Giovanna told True Crime Daily, quote, I think she was communicating, like, on her phone and social media outlets. I think maybe she's met with the, one of them once or twice, but it was nothing serious. I had a conversation with her about it, and I just kind of told her, like, you know, y'all have been married for a long time. It probably feels good to have the attention from him. And she was honest and said that, yes, it was, end quote. Giovanna warned her to be careful, saying, quote, you don't know what kind of trouble this can cause, end quote. On Wednesday, April 27th, Bianca found out exactly what kind of trouble these communications could cause. That day, Daniel apparently went through Bianca's phone and found her texts to these men. While we don't know if they had a fight or exactly what was said, we do know from a text that Bianca sent to Giovanna that Daniel took decisive action. Quote, Daniel emptied the account and opened another account without my name on it, so I have no access to money except my credit card, which is almost at the limit, end quote. And again, so that's a text that Bianca has sent to her sister.
Yeah, and this is another example of a control tactic.
Exactly.
So,
and
you know, I think it's probably safe to say that Bianca was hiding things
right.
from Daniel. Because she knew
he would freak out.
How manipulative and controlling he could be.
That's a really rough avenue to take. Obviously, this is awful regardless of their financial agreement or situation, but Bianca was a full-time nurse, so she was definitely contributing to their household expenses
for
and
sure.
to that
yeah.
account.
Yeah.
But he just took it all. This is important to look at for a few reasons, what Daniel did. You know, one issue is that he was very angry and controlling, as you mentioned before. And it just really seems like this was a situation in which Bianca said she was done, but Daniel didn't agree, and he was going to do whatever it took.
To keep her there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also striking because Bianca disappeared just 4 days after this incident. And at the time of her disappearance, it seems very possible that she had access to little or no money. But it's hard to say for sure, you know, kind of what the money situation was, because I haven't been able to find out anything about the next 4 days, really. Hmm. Not until Sunday, May 1st, when Giovanna and Bianca spoke again. So in this conversation, Bianca seemed more determined than ever to move on from her marriage, saying she was going to go see a divorce lawyer. And her main concern, according to her sister, was the kids, as you can imagine.
Right.
And basically, again, in another show of control and power, he indicated that he wanted custody and he was going to fight her for it. So, you know, this was definitely not shaping up to be an amicable divorce.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, and he's clearly fine with using the kids as a weapon. That night, which was May 1st, Bianca and Daniel got into another argument about the men she was talking to and about her wanting a divorce. What happens next is according to Daniel's statements to police. He says that after the argument, Bianca took off and started walking down the street. So Daniel says that he grabbed their youngest child, put her in his truck, and left their San Antonio home to drive back to work in Odessa, leaving their two older children, who are only 9 and 10, alone in the house at night. Now, I know that you're only slightly more familiar with Texas geography than I am. I Google mapped it. Odessa is a 5-hour drive from San Antonio.
So he's driving 5 hours away, you said, to go to work?
Yeah. So I think what happened, so they're from Odessa, but Bianca got this job in San Antonio. And so I think they moved for her job, but he still had his job in Odessa. And their family's back there. So what I think was probably happening, and this is never explicitly stated, but my guess is like he'd go back and work for a few days and then come back and, you know, I don't think he was making like leaving every morning and driving and 5 hours.
10 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
But so he takes the
youngest
of the kids
and leaves two kids home in San Antonio.
And didn't tell Bianca this?
No.
Wow.
Because Bianca took off, right? So they had the argument. Bianca started walking. And so he grabs the little one and just tells the other two to just like...
9 and 10?
Be cool. Yeah. And then leaves
that's
for 5 hours. Absolutely. So this is a Sunday night. And I assume, because it was May 1st, that they had school the next day.
Right.
So I guess they were just supposed to like...
get themselves off to school?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, we've got kids that are older than 9 and 10, and they can barely put their shoes on without us giving them specific directions to tie them.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, like, Bianca would be right back. So it wasn't a huge deal, right? Like, that he took the 5-year-old because he didn't want the older kids to watch her, but figured that they could fend for themselves for like half an hour, however long he thought Bianca was going to like go cool off.
I mean, I guess just the action itself just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, it's insane. And he even told Giovanna that he saw Bianca walking as he was driving away and that the two made eye contact. So, okay, like she knows that he's gone. So if they made eye contact when he was driving away with their youngest daughter, then she can say, oh, Daniel left.
The kids.
Yeah,
alone.
Like maybe I should go back home and check on my kids.
Yeah.
I would be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on that, right? Because on its face, you could think, okay, they had an argument. She storms off. He takes the kids. They see each other. She knows he's leaving. So he assumes she's going to go back home because, you know, he's not there. So the situation's done and she's going to go take care of the older kids. But the way he acted in the following days make me question that. On Monday, May 2nd, Giovanna tried to get back in touch with Bianca, probably to check on her and, you know, see how things went with Daniel. But her phone calls and texts went unanswered. By Tuesday, Giovanna still hadn't heard back from her sister, and the calls she made just go straight to voicemail. Giovanna was so concerned that she actually called the doctor's office where Bianca worked, and they said that not only was she not there, but she hadn't come in on Monday either. And no one had heard from her. And this was completely out of character for Bianca, as you can imagine. So Giovanna immediately, you know, all the red flags go up and she thinks something's very wrong.
So here we have somebody that does not have access to money.
Mm-hmm.
because her husband took all.
Took it all.
So it doesn't seem likely that she would leave on her own accord to quote unquote start a new life or whatever,
right,
without money,
mm-hmm,
or now a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't make sense.
Well, like, exactly.
She has this career.
She worked very hard, right, for.
She doesn't have access to money, so, like, she needs to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't add up.
Right.
That she would just split on that Sunday without having
a plan or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just gets weirder over the next couple of days. After Giovanna calls Bianca's work and, you know, finds all this out, she, of course, reaches out to Daniel, mm-hmm, to see if he knows anything. But he seemed completely unconcerned about his missing wife. According to an interview Giovanna gave to CBS 7 about 6 months after Bianca's disappearance, quote, "He said she left, and I said, 'What do you mean she left?' And he said, 'I don't know, she left,'" end quote.
It's heartfelt.
Yeah, I mean, all right, I can get being pissed at your wife and being like, yeah, I don't care where she is, but your two children were left home alone.
Right.
So shouldn't
How long?
Exactly. Shouldn't that be a major concern for you?
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how long the children were left alone, but Odessa is a 5-hour drive and there's no indication that Bianca ever returned to her house. So it had to have been a while. And it's really weird to me that everything I read when I was researching this, like, kind of glosses over the fact that these kids
were just left alone.
And like, I never found any indication of when somebody came for them.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume her sister did.
Yeah, but I mean, that was days later that she even realized Bianca was gone.
Right.
So, like, were those kids on their own for days? Did Daniel come back, like, that night? Did he come back the next day? Like, who picked up these kids and when?
Yeah. Yeah, and why wasn't CYS involved
exactly
at a certain point?
Because at that point, I mean, on Sunday, like, on its face, it looked like both of the parents just abandoned them.
Right.
So Giovanna and Daniel are talking, and she tells them that Bianca didn't show up for work and that she's really worried, so she wants to file a police report. But Daniel tells her not to. He said basically that Bianca decided to take off, so there's no point because this is what she wanted.
Again, manipulation tactics.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, Giovanna wasn't having it. She's like, what in the hell are you talking about?
Good.
Yeah, she wanted to leave her husband, but she wasn't going to do it randomly on a Sunday night with no car and without her children.
Right, and then not answer her phone.
Yeah, and not talk to her sister. It's clear, like, she has been talking about her marital problems to her sister this whole time.
Yeah.
So she's just suddenly going to cut off contact with her?
Yeah.
So anyway, Giovanna calls the police herself, and their first question is, why are you calling us? Like, why isn't her husband calling?
Mm-hmm.
According to Giovanna, the police officer calls Daniel right there in front of her. But when Daniel answers, he tells the officer that he has the wrong number. After that, though, Daniel does call police and eventually files a missing persons report for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once the missing persons report is filed, investigators search their home and the area surrounding it, looking for any clues that could tell them where Bianca went after she and Daniel had that argument, but they came up empty. Bianca's family posts flyers all around town, and her sister Giovanna starts a Help Find Bianca Carrasco Facebook page. In addition to bringing Daniel in for questioning, police also interview the men that Bianca had been in contact with.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Exactly. Yeah. But they eventually clear them as suspects, to the point where they were never even publicly named.
Yeah.
As the investigation continues in the days after her disappearance, few clues are found and fewer questions are answered. And what they do find out worries the family even more. Apparently, Bianca's phone was turned off at 10:22 p.m. on the night she disappeared and was never turned on again.
Do we know what time Daniel alleges that Bianca walked out of the house?
I don't know exactly what time, but it was evening. Like, it was nighttime. So, you know, probably not too long before that.
Mm-hmm.
Police say that Daniel Carrasco was cooperative and answered all of their questions. San Antonio police officer Doug Green told True Crime Daily, quote, "We're not ruling anything out in this case. There could be some foul play involved. It's our hope that we can get some more information, hopefully from the public or from anybody else that knows anything about this case or Ms. Carrasco's whereabouts to help us find out where she is, because we know that the family is grieving," end quote.
Great that Daniel's being cooperative, but that's
eventually,
not,
after
eventually,
he...
yes, but that's not an indicator of innocence. I mean, the fucking numbnuts Chris Watts answered every question and took a lie detector test.
Right.
And was guilty as hell.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, when you're talking about somebody that is a manipulator and is good at it and has had years of experience doing it, he's probably thinking in his head that he's smarter than the cops and that he can
just figure this out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think on the flip side, I mean, not being cooperative isn't necessarily an indication of guilt,
no,
right?
Not at
like,
all.
You know, that whole thing like, oh, only the guilty people would ask for a lawyer.
That's
like,
not,
no, smart people ask for a lawyer.
Yeah.
Always ask for a lawyer.
Always. Yes.
As for foul play, Bianca's mother, Barbara, thinks that's exactly what happened and that Daniel is responsible. According to that same True Crime Daily article, she thinks that Daniel killed her daughter and either put her in chemicals or in concrete, and that's why her body hasn't been found.
This is reminding me a lot of the Watts story.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, she just, quote unquote, goes missing and, you know, he's conveniently out of the area.
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and he works in some construction or something.
Yeah, he has some sort of job like that.
Yeah, where he could potentially dispose of a body easily.
Yeah.
Similar to what
Chris Watts did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good for Daniel.
Yeah. Well, for her part, Giovanna and the other family and friends seem like they tried to stay positive, at least in the beginning, right? There are a ton of messages on Bianca's Facebook page imploring her to get in contact and reassuring her that no one will be upset with her if she just comes home. But she didn't come home. And after a while, the messages turned from pleas for a safe return to memorials for a bright, vivacious young mother who was taken too soon. And now, nearly 5 years after her disappearance, the case is pretty much where it was in 2017. Though apparently the homicide unit has now been brought in to investigate. Daniel Carrasco has never been charged with any crime, nor has he ever been publicly named as a suspect in his wife's disappearance. He currently lives with his three children in Odessa.
I was just going to ask who's got the kids.
Yep. So I think at the beginning, the kids might have been staying with a different family member.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once the active part of the investigation was over, they ended up back with their dad.
Yeah. And look, benefit of the doubt here, it doesn't seem as though there's any evidence linking him to this. So it's not like you can keep his kids away from him for being an asshole.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And that's the problem with this, is that there's just no physical evidence indicating anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no evidence that she decided to take off, that she decided to start a new life. She didn't have her car, you know, like she probably didn't have money. She didn't take clothes. She didn't have anything with her.
Turned her cell phone off or somebody.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
I mean,
and she just took off on foot on a Sunday night.
Exactly.
After a fight.
Never
came back.
Right.
You know? I mean, this clearly doesn't seem like it was something that was planned out on her part.
Right.
Right. And we might do a future bonus episode because I have been, you know, this always comes up in these cases that we cover with missing adults. Hey, maybe they just walked away from their life. And like, no, they didn't. But sometimes people do.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I actually did read about this case while I was researching a different episode in which somebody did exactly that and was found over 20 years later living in Florida with a whole new family. But in that case, it was very different because, you know, while this person also didn't take like clothes or seemingly take money or, you know, anything like that, like he was in contact with people after his disappearance.
Yeah.
So,
well, and there was probably some evidence there of planning.
Yeah. And I think there was evidence that eventually did kind of come out.
Right.
That shows like why he did it and things that he might have done. And yeah, like you said, planning. But again, it's very different from this case and these other cases that we've talked about where a person just seemingly
disappears
without a trace.
Right.
You know, because again, going back to physical evidence, there's no physical evidence that we know of that anything violent happened to her, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if the kids did give a statement, they obviously didn't give anything incriminating against their father. I'm sure there wasn't, you know, blood in the house or other signs of violence.
Right. Yeah. So if anything did happen, it didn't happen in the house, probably because mm-hmm. the kids were there. Probably didn't happen in his car or his truck.
Right. Because I'm sure that was all searched.
Evidence there.
Yeah.
So it could have happened somewhere, and then he brought her into the truck to
right.
move the body. I mean, how old was the youngest
Five.
Kid? Well, I mean, that's old enough that, you know, if the five-year-old had been questioned or had seen something, he probably would have said something to
she. Well, yeah, she. Yeah, so she would have because, right, like, again, going back to Chris Watts, not to make this about him because he's awful, but, you know, when he was giving his statement about what happened, like his girls were much younger than five and they were still somewhat aware of what was going on.
Exactly.
And they were asking questions and
what's wrong with mommy?
Exactly. You know, yeah. things like that. And right. so a five-year-old is certainly
going to remember seeing
something weird. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, and whether the five-year-old could understand what she was seeing is something different, but like, at five, you're going to know if something weird is going on.
Yeah.
Apparently there wasn't. And that's really why cases like this are so difficult, because unless you find that clue, that evidence, or God forbid, a body, where are you going to go
right.
unless somebody else talks, right?
Yes.
Daniel's not talking. You know, if he is involved, who knows if he ever told anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's somebody else out there who knows what happens, but maybe there isn't.
Yeah.
So it really just comes down to luck and waiting and patience or somebody.
A witness coming forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a crisis of conscience.
Yeah.
Bianca Carrasco has been missing since May 1st, 2017. She is a Hispanic female with dark brown hair and brown eyes. At the time of her disappearance, she was 5'1" and weighed 125 pounds. She has a tattoo of the letter B on her hip. Bianca was 29 when she disappeared. She would be 34 years old today. If you have any information on what happened to Bianca Carrasco, please contact the San Antonio Police Department's Missing Persons Unit at 210-207-7660. You can see all of the sources for this episode, along with photos and videos, on our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook, and at ATTWGPod on Instagram and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we want to hear from you. You can also leave us a message at anchor.fm/andthentheyweregone/message, and we may play it on a future episode. And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
Yeah. If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.